Do you have any particular question? No.
Not really. I've been doing this for a while, mm-hmm. and I've read the suttas. I've been to Malaysia. I've been to Thailand. Now I've been to Sri Lanka.
Thailand, Sri Lanka.
I've been to India. I've kind of done the whole Buddhist thing. I've been to monasteries in the United States, where I'm from.
Have you went to this West Virginia, Bhante Ji?
I've heard of Bhante Ji. I'm not super familiar with him, but I am familiar.
He's a very good teacher.
Yeah, I've heard he's
very popular. I saw a few books of him in our here library. Bhante Gunaratan.
And you know, I've read so many books. I've been on the internet. There's just so many different Buddhisms. To kind of explore, and that's why I don't necessarily really have any particular questions. I've kind of come to a particular teaching, a particular kind of interpretation that I regard as the most probable to be the closest thing to what the Buddha probably intended. But I don't know, because I'm a Pathujana.
Yes. Earlier you mentioned about our faculties, no? Senses. Six
yes.
faculties?
Yes, 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 the six sense bases.
So I think you have heard many suttas.
Yes, I've got all the technical terminology, and I know that I have the Buddhist worldview. I have studied it. Very
so if
deeply.
I refer one sutta about faculties, Mahasalayatanika Sutta, okay. about six faculties.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just want to come to something practical. That's why I think that when we use our eye, ear, nose, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. As I mentioned in this sutta, we don't know the reality of I. Don't know the reality about the rupa. You understand rupa, no? I,
yes.
rupa, and the consciousness. I consciousness. Vijnana.
Mm-hmm.
And the three things together called tassa.
Tassa is contact.
And the resulting vedana. The feeling, whether it is good one, bad one, no neutral, something like those five things. Normally, people don't know about them. That's what he mentioned. Chakkhum vikkhari. So you have to know and see. The Pali term jhanam pasam yata bhutam. Jhanam means know, pasam means to see. Yata bhuta means the reality, which we don't know. Or truth or reality. And reality about our I, the rupa, the vijnana, contact and the vedana. Since people don't know about this, they go along this samsaric journey.
Yes.
So that when he explains it, if someone know and see, these are the two terms very commonly used.
Yes.
Know and see. Jhana passa. Jhanato passato. So only persons jhanato passato can enter the path. So path leading to nirvana. Those who don't know, not seeing, they cannot do it. So This is explained in many suttas if you read that. Yes. I'm sure you have.
Yes, the eventual kind of place I've gotten, which is why I emphasize it so much, is that, a Patujan is categorically incapable of, they're incapable of bhavana. That's stated explicitly by the Buddha, that bhavana is the power of the trainee, that like you have to be an Aryaseka in order to be able to abandon, to be able to eliminate and abandon the asavas.
Yes. You have to be Seka. So Seka means the knowing and seeing. Or, in other words, called samadhitti.
Yes, and so, you have to have the right view. You have to be a sotapanna at least in order to do that. Mm. And so...
Strife or samadhitti, no?
Yeah.
That is referring again to four kind of... it is not knowledge, but seeing, called jnana. Jnana darsana. That is beyond our... the faculties, beyond our eye, beyond our ear, and so on, mm-hmm. beyond our mind. Right? Six faculties, whenever we get to know something, it's a kind of deluded one, not the truth. For example, if we use eye and get to know something, it is not the reality, according to Buddha.
Yes.
So we need to find out why.
Yes.
Why we can see the car? How can Buddha say it is not the reality? Why? So all six faculties, we have to investigate. Why is there not true? It is truth for us.
Yes.
And here car is there. How can one say it is not the reality? Have you tried to investigate why you are?
You know, it's all I do all day long, every day of my life.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have.
So we are living.
I
have
means understood. Yeah. So.
Living means we are using this six, no? I, ear, six in the sense six faculties.
Yes, that's the world. The Buddha describes that as the world, the whole world.
It's whole world.
The six sense base.
Yes. Maybe I chair as you.
Chair back. Actually, this one might be dusty, and I have it all over me. So you can
do
that.
No. You it. I can sit there.
If you want a chair, I don't care. I wasn't even using a chair back. Yeah. I can sit right here, and you can have the chair.
Never use for some kind.
Yeah.
You can sit there.
You want the chair, and you can have the chair.
Okay.
I wasn't even using the chair back.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yes. So living life means we are using these faculties, no?
I wouldn't even say we use the faculties. I would say that the faculties are the life. That there is, like, there's that saying we use the faculties implies that we are beyond, that there is something beyond the faculties.
Yeah.
And, like, we're outside the faculties and we, like, see them from the outside and we, like, use them as for information to, like, manipulate them somehow.
Yeah.
Even, like, even that, like, all of those intuitions are part of the faculties.
Mm. Is there a way to see the faculties from outside? That's a good view.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way to see them from the outside. That's just illusion. To think you can get out of the six senses and like approach them and see them.
Yeah.
And I would say that's even kind of like the basic delusion that is part of the Abhidhamma, is that the Abhidhamma has like this framework of like, oh, like I can see like an like a full experience, like I can see the beginning, I can see the middle, and then I can see the end. When that is assuming a time that is external to the experience by which you are measuring, like, okay, so there's this snippet, and I have the beginning here, I have the middle here, I have the ending there. Again, that's assuming that there's like this universal time that's outside of the experience that you can say, like, okay, here was the beginning, here was the middle, here was the end. When in reality, like, it's always the beginning, middle, and the end all at once. And you cannot discern like when something has come to be. Yeah. It always already is.
Yeah.
And you recognize it being there. It's thrust itself upon you. And when something ceases, you can't know that it is completely gone, because even the knowledge, even the intuition of like there was this thing here, right? That memory, that persists for some time, and then eventually you just forget it entirely. And you never recognize, I have forgotten this entirely. So, I don't know, that's just one like criticism I have, is that the whole Abhidhamma project is kind of based on that, precisely that idea that like we can get beyond experience and like analyze it from as if it's like we're outside of it, when we're always inside the senses. And that, and the senses...
I would say it is part of Abhidhamma, not the complete picture, what you explain.
Okay, I...
Whole Abhidhamma, if you summarize, there are four things explained. Rupa, Chitta, Chaitasika, Nibbana.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whole Abhidhamma summarized like this. So there are so many things about Rupa, so many things about Chitta, mind, right? And so many... categorizations, explanations about Chaitasika, called Chaitasika, something appearing mind. Then there's something called Nibbana as well. Those are the four categories. If we summarize whole of them.
Yeah, that's like okay. The four like basic elements.
Yeah. But these four, there's an important fact. Three of them, all sankata formations,
mm-hmm.
sanskaras, creations. Three categories called sankata, dosa, rupa, chitta, chaitasika. I hope you understand this thing, no?
Yeah.
These are called sankata,
yes.
For the formations.
Mm-hmm.
The nibbana is known as asankata.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a formation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic level, scholarly level. But you can see the whole world is these three. Rupa, Chitta, Chaitasika.
So saying that Nibbana is beyond
Nibbana
the world.
Nibbana is beyond world.
That's saying that there's something beyond
that
the six senses.
Simply go beyond
which
of
which is a contradiction.
This go beyond of these three. Not appearing at all, these three things. That is why it is not formation. Formation is, how to say, destroyed, eradicated. No more any kind of, even talking about rupa or appearance, any kind of sign.
Well, if that's true, then, I mean, it doesn't make any sense that the Buddha was talking about rupa. Right, because the Buddha attained to Nibbana.
If you go to deeper levels, no sense of talking. There's nothing to talk about.
Okay.
But, of course, we have to talk about it.
Well, I'm saying it like it's...
Because whenever we are talking, we need these three things. Any kind of formation, you know, we need to think. Otherwise, how can we talk? How can we understand without thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mind and the chitta and the chetasika are there. So that is again world. That's why this talking level, again, we are living life. It's the world. But Nibbana itself, I just, right now I cannot explain, but
I will yeah. just continually say yeah. to you that is like directly contradictory to what the Buddha said in the suttas, that like beyond
any sutta can you show contradictory
in the that like beyond the five, beyond the six faculties, beyond the five aggregates,
yes,
for yes. someone to say beyond. That there is something beyond this is just foolishness, that's like if you question them about that, they will not be able to answer. They will not be able to like give you anything to justify.
You can ask anything
to justify
it clearly
saying that there's something beyond the six sense bases and the five.
It
aggregates.
Clearly mentioned beyond six senses, beyond five aggregates. Okay, suttas.
Yes.
So what is this beyond? Beyond means we can't use those things. If you are using senses, if you are using five aggregates, it is not in one. That's why I told you. How can we talk about it beyond those? Whatever we talk, we need sensors or aggregates. Without them, we can't talk. Without them, even you can't think. Any thought, if you observe it, those five things are there. Any thought. Right? So, the not appearing those, beyond those, actually no words, but I am not trying to escape.
Even saying that like it's, even yeah. saying that it doesn't appear is...
It is, I can give you similes, what Buddha gave. Yeah. Certain similes he has given, right? Because he mentioned some people can use similes to get misunderstanding, right? One, the five things I'm sure you know about, the five aggregates, the similes, five similes he has given, no?
For the five aggregates?
Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara,
Vinyana,
right? Five similes given for each of them. But I will take one sanya.
Mm-hmm.
The simile is mirage. You know mirage?
Yes.
You can see water like
in the desert. Yeah.
Path, in a desert
yes.
something. So the sanya, he has used the simile mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this mirage example, if you take. Now, we can see water-like thing from far, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine if someone coming from that side, let's say person, yeah, exactly we see the mirage, right? So you have to see from that viewpoint. If that person coming from that side, if we say, is there water? Or no water? Is it clean water, dirty water, or is it some kind of elements, not the water, like we call Satara Mahabhuta, the Pataviya, Poteja, Vayu, right?
Yeah.
Four elements. Or even scientists would say it is not water, it is H2O,
yeah.
right? Hydrogen, oxygen. Hydrogen is a gas. Oxygen is a gas. So how can there be something called water? Right? Mm-hmm. Like that, they may explain like that. Or the Abhidhamma explained four elements only.
Yeah.
There's nothing called water. But that is all our viewpoints from this side. Looking at mirage and trying to explain. Okay? Just imagine person coming from that side, coming from the desert, right?
Yeah.
When we say that water is like this, water is illusion or anything, what would he say or think? Person coming from that side.
They recognize that there is no water.
Even the water term. Not appear.
Eh? Well, you would have to. No, well, I absolutely would, because that's the only way he could intuit that we're mistaken, is by his intuition of like recognizing, oh, they think that there is water.
They think that there's water.
Yes.
That's the theory he's getting.
But like to the extent that he like recognizes that we have the intuition of water, he himself has an intuition of like, oh, yeah, they are thinking of water, and I'm thinking of water, I'm thinking that they're thinking of water, and all of that is real.
Or that is real, or sometimes they might come to a point it is not real. Looks like water, but for elements, or whatever, it is not the real water. That is another viewpoint. But the person coming from that side, whenever, let's say, there's no water there, even you might think, why he is talking about water? Isn't it?
Well, no,
because yes,
if you're in the desert, yeah, you're gonna, and he would have an intuition of like, oh, like sometimes these things called mirages happen, and that's why they're thinking of water.
Yeah. So
they're having a mirage.
For him, the concept of water, or the no sign of water appearing for him.
Well, again, I just completely disagree. But like, no, there absolutely is a sign of water, right? That he has, like, all this, like, he understands the whole situation of, like, they having a mirage, they think that there's water here, there isn't water here. Water is, like, the idea of water is involved in all of that.
Okay. You haven't got the point yet. Exactly thing from person, just stay the place where we talk about mirage. Right? His viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any sign about water? No, right?
There is a sign. There is exactly a sign.
No, if they are in the place where mirage appears, desert.
Yes.
Do you see water there?
There's a lack of water.
You want to talk about lack of water, you need to know about water.
Indeed. That's what I'm saying.
That is simply that one not appearing for him. If he has no other past experience or anything about water, right? Just coming from that side.
Well, the Buddha
simply sign of water not appearing. So how can he say no?
Okay, so you're saying like if someone is in the desert and they have no previous experience with water, then yeah, then like someone who's having a mirage of water, that won't make any sense to them.
No, nonsense.
But what I'm saying is that
they might say, "What nonsense you're talking about?"
What I'm saying is that is not the situation of the Buddha. The Buddha says himself, he does know suffering. He understands suffering.
I'm trying to come in into that point. What is suffering?
So that I'm just saying like that. Like to say that there is just absolutely no intuition of suffering, or that like it doesn't even make sense to them.
So that yeah,
that doesn't really like apply to like the Buddha's good situation.
That's why I told something called samadhi is the four jnanas: suffering, cause of suffering, cessation, and the path leading to cessation, right? How can we relate the, now I'm talking about the faculties. Now I took the I, that is why I took the illusion of mirage. Right? Because when we use our eye, we can see mirage, like water. Right? But even we see mirage, person there, no sign of a mirage. If you go to that place, you can't see anything. So that's a different viewpoint, not our viewpoint, but that's why I ask, when you say six faculties, you have to see from outside. How to see from outside?
I would say that's
it
impossible.
It is impossible.
And so, like...
But...
And again, even a person who, like...
That's why these similes were given.
Even a person who is, like, currently standing in the... again, in the desert, where like they used to see a mirage, right? If you just like, if you were thirsty and you saw a mirage in the distance of water and you just kept walking, eventually you'd get to that spot that you saw, and then he's like, oh, there's no water here. And even then, that there would be a recognition. There is no water here. And so there would be a sign of, like, I used to believe that there was water here, and now I see that there isn't. But again, even in that, there's still this intuition, this enduring intuition of, like, this idea of water, what I used to be seeking, what I tried to find, what I didn't find here, etc., etc.
So that kind of your way of thinking, so initially we think there's water, but when we go there, we realize no water, right?
Yeah.
So those are the, if you read Kacchanagotta Sutta, the worldly people living with two views, apti nati, apti tancha nati tancha. I hope you met those two terms, apti tancha nati tancha. Those are the worldly people.
Yes.
Right? If you realize the truth, apti would not appear, nati would not appear. Na hoti, the term. Na hoti. Apti tancha na hoti. Nati tancha na hoti. Right? That's the realization. Kacchanagatta Sutta.
Okay.
If you see the samudaya, nati tancha na hoti. If you see the nirodha, apti tancha na hoti. That's how that sutta explains. If you don't remember, you can refer back later on. Kacchanagatta Sutta.
I somehow remember what the sutta you're referring to.
I can tell you the Pali terms if you want. Loka samudayam ko kacchan yata bhutam samya panyaya pasatu ya loke natita sanaho. That is how it is. Loka samudaya. Okay? Mm-hmm. Origination of loka, world.
Yeah.
Loka samudaya. Kokachana is the person kachana. Yathabhutam. That is the reality. Yathabhuta is the reality. Not what we know about it, but the reality. Okay? Yathabhutam. Samyak panyaya pasatu. Real wisdom. If you see the reality, samyapanyaya pasatu. Right?
Okay.
If so, you can't use the term apti or natti. That's existing or non-existing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use those terms. No meaning at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the reality. Sat kacchanagatta sutta. First verse. Okay. So now, if you see water and go there, realize no water. So water, no water. There's apti, natti. Still, you are talking about water. That's the problem. If you realize the truth, if you see the real samudaya, samudaya means the formation, appearance, reality of it. Then, that's what I try to use that simile. If you are in that place where mirage appears, you can't even talk about water. It is not no water. Because no water means you know about water. For example, if I say, there's no elephant here, that is true.
I guess what I'm saying.
How can you say no elephant? When you say no elephant, you are creating elephant.
I guess what I'm saying is like, so I've heard this kind of interpretation before, and I guess I'm just pointing out like that I don't think that this interpretation can be substantiated by the suttas, by like all the other things that the Buddha
That's
said.
That's why I refer one sutta. I can refer many, many more.
I'm sure you can. I'm just saying, like, the Buddha did talk about suffering. He did talk about like these things, like things as if they were real.
Exactly.
So
what is suffering is the problem. Buddha asked, first you need to understand suffering. Suffering is to understand.
Yes, and so I'm...
Not to remove.
And so I'm saying, like, to say that, like, an idea of suffering being or an idea of suffering not being, like, doesn't arise for the Buddha, he had to have had ideas about suffering in order to talk about that.
Yes. To whom he's talking about suffering?
To people.
Who are in the suffering, but don't realize the suffering.
Right? Yes.
Okay. That doesn't mean Buddha is suffering.
Yes, I'm not saying that either. I'm just.
I'm saying
like in your, like your simile does not, because for example, like in your, like by the simile, which is kind of what I was saying before, is like if you're a person who's standing in the place where the other, like another person sees a mirage in the place that where you're standing, because you're standing right on top of it, you can see that they're wrong. they are wrong. They are misguided. There isn't any water here. They can see that, but you still. That doesn't mean like, well, right there, like in order to, say that there is no water, you're saying that there is no water, and you do recognize that. But you're saying like, no, this person doesn't even have an intuition of water being or not being, while he's standing in the place where the mirage is. Yeah. And I'm like, that's maybe like if he wasn't thinking about water at all, but like if he's thinking about where he's standing in relation to a person who is having a mirage. He does have an intuition of there is no water here, right?
No, forget about other people. Just the viewpoint of that person standing there, right? Now, we are taking this water example because it's the mirage.
Yeah.
You have to use this for any other thing. Now, for that person, at that present moment, okay? Standing there. The concept of water simply not appearing. That's the point, what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Concept of water. He doesn't have to talk about water. It is something like, no, we don't have to talk about elephant here. Right? Someone is talking about elephant looking at this side. What nonsense is talking about, no? Something like that. So, because nowadays.
But well, in a sense, though, there is.
So that
the absence of the elephant is present.
Yes, exactly. Absence of the elephant is present when we say there's no elephant.
Yeah.
So absence is another. Paccha in Abhidhamma, it is called Nattipatti.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I don't know whether you read Abhidhamma.
I've read the like English, like that translation of the manual.
Have you read the Pattana, Suvisipatti, 24 courses in Abhidhamma?
I've read of Abhidhamma is like the manual. There's like the manual of Abhidhamma.
Manual is not real Abhidhamma.
That was translated into English. Because that's all that's translated into English.
Sorry, I have to tell you, manual of Abhidhamma is not Abhidhamma.
Very well.
Because you heard about Tripitaka, no? Vinaya,
yes.
Sutta, Abhidhamma. Yeah. So Abhidhamma, Pitaka, there are 7 books, all Prakaran. Manual is just talking about all those, just...
Yeah, it's a simplification.
Simplification.
I understand.
It is not the real Abhidhamma.
If you
really want to know Abhidhamma, you have to refer. But I don't. I'm not asking you to refer Abhidhamma.
Yeah.
Because it's a huge task.
Yeah.
But if you really want to talk about Abhidhamma, I read some of them, not all. whatever necessary for me.
Yeah.
Right? But the whole Abhidhamma is not the manual of Abhidhamma.
Of course.
So Abhidhamma Pitaka, there are 7 books. If you go to Pali Text Society or anything, they'll explain the Tripitaka if you refer it.
Yeah.
It is the manual of Abhidhamma. It has sometimes it is strange to say there are certain things not even appearing in Abhidhamma Pitaka, the books.
Mm-hmm.
Because when try to explain this, someone put in certain things.
Yeah.
When you really read it, certain things not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have to be careful. If you try to say this is what Buddha said, you have to be careful.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing is I don't... And this is another
unless
reason.
You refer.
Yeah.
I mainly spoke
that way just to like kind of point at
so anyway,
a general interpretive way of thinking about the Dhamma that to me doesn't make sense.
Anyway, it's a very good point you told. When we say no elephant, elephant is created. Because it's a relative thing. Right? That's the exact point I'm trying to say. If you say no water, you are referring to water.
Yes.
Now, if we say no water here, that means we have water.
Mm.
To say no. So, that is the napti. So, the Buddha's teachings go beyond both apti and napti. Apti means existing. Napti means not existing.
Mm.
So, when we say not existing, water is not there. Again, we are talking about water. We created water in our mental. It's a mental sign of water. That is called the sanya.
Yeah.
So water sanya. If you have kind of sign for water, if you don't have sign for water, you can't say no. Yes, we are comparing whatever concept you have for water. We use eyes to see the water-like thing, whether it is there. If it is not matching, we say no water.
Mm-hmm.
If it is matching, we say water is there.
Yes.
But to tell that there or not there, we need something to match with. That is exactly called sanya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that sanya itself Buddha has compared to mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Got the point? In that sutta, if you read carefully, sanya is the mirage, not the outside object. We use this sanya or nimitti to compare with. So if it is matching with whatever we have, we say it is there. If it is not matching with what we have, we say it is not there. So this is the worldly people, what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But Buddha mentioned how to go beyond that. So you have to see what this sanya is. The one we are having inside, normally we don't see, unless you really investigate. Right? So inner, you have to see inside you. How do we talk about elephant? Why we talk about water? Because there's a sanya for that. We are matching with that.
Yeah.
So the elephant image we are matching is not matching, therefore no elephant. If it is matching, even picture.
Yeah.
We say elephant picture.
Yeah.
Right? But to say that existing or non existing, that is the apti and napti. So you read Pachanagata Sutra, clearly say the worldly beings living with apti or napti, existing, non-existing.
Mm-hmm.
That is worldly people. But when you see in same sutra, I'll explain further, if you see the reality, simply these things not appear. That means you go beyond those.
That actually might be helpful. I can look up
Check the sutra.
Is
the Kachayana Gotta Sutra.
What Nikaya is it in?
Same Sanyutta Nikaya.
Sanyutta Nikaya?
Yeah. Pachana Gotta.
Yeah, Sanyutta Nikaya 12.15.
Okay, great. You found it.
Just check the Red Sutta. Can you read it?
Yeah, there's Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation.
I can tell you the Pali terms. Loka samudayanko kachana yata buhutam samyapanyaya pasato.
Venerable Sir, it is said, right view, in what way, Venerable Sir, is there right view? This world, kachana, for the most part depends upon a duality, upon the notion of existence and the notion of non-existence.
Ah, duality.
But for one who sees the origin of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there is no notion of non-existence in regard to the world.
No notion of non-existence. No notion of existing.
Yes, and for one who sees the cessation of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there is no notion of existence in regard to that. Mm. Mm. Yeah, so I mean,
so even
the issue
you,
is how you interpret that. The issue is always how you interpret that.
No, no, first we have to read the interpretation, but then you have to investigate it. Okay, why Buddha has mentioned like this? Mm-hmm. So, that one, sometimes you can use similes, that's why I use the mirage simile, right? But we have to change our whole way of, you know, looking at.
I guess what I'm saying is that simile doesn't, your like a mirage thing doesn't really seem to apply because, again, like the Buddha had to have some kind of notion of, for example, suffering in order to communicate it to the people who are seeing the mirage.
So, do you know what is suffering? It's the next question. So,
well,
if you are trying to refer it to.
Since I'm still liable to suffering, and if I trust the Buddha, he says if I knew what suffering was, I would not be capable of suffering anymore. So, clearly, according to the Buddha, I do not understand suffering.
No, no. According to Buddha, first thing is samadhiti, right? Samadhiti explained as for. It is not knowledge, is what you use the term? For the prajna, the jnana.
Yeah, the knowledge.
Jnana. It is not knowledge. Jnana is seen actually.
Okay.
The reality as it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is beyond our knowledge. So the four jnanas, wisdoms. Four.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge, the wisdom of suffering.
Yes, the Four Noble Truths.
Four Noble Truths. That is called samadhi. Right, please.
Yes.
Right? So unless you know, you don't have that, the not the knowledge or the wisdom of suffering, how can you refer it to suffering? So this is the way of understanding what suffering is. Because normally we think something as suffering, it is not the real suffering. So the person there, if I come back to that simile, person there at the mirage, he can see others are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are talking about water.
Yeah.
Right? Existing or non-existing. That is the suffering itself. It is something like, sometimes you have seen birds, these side mirrors, they get deluded, no? Thinking there's another bird.
Mm-hmm.
Or dog watching water, think another dog there.
Yeah.
Right? Then barking.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So we can see outside what is going on.
Yes.
When we watch.
Yes.
When we see, that illusion itself is a suffering. But we knew that. But the bird or dog, they can't understand it as suffering.
Yes.
Okay, that's why you have to see it from outside.
Mm-hmm.
So when we use our faculties, we don't see it as suffering. when dog think there's another dog in the water, no suffering for him. He think if I get anger only I suffer. But believing itself there's another dog, we can say that's the origin of suffering. Belief itself.
Yeah.
Because simply no dog.
That does seem right to me from my current perspective, but yes, it is like believing in, yes, the Kaitati is believing in a certain sense of self, but belief is a very complicated thing. You know, like belief is not simple.
Yes.
It's not like a just, you can't like will yourself into believing something or not. Right? Like you find yourself within believing in certain things.
Yeah. Hanging there. Okay, patiyak kellena. Rode.
What I emphasize in terms of the Dhamma is like virtue and sense restraint and like renunciation and like all of these things. Because
of course, they are.
Especially like you said yourself, you're still a seeker, so you don't have the right view. And so, you know, we can argue all day about what the suttas mean. I can only really argue. I will always just qualify like what I'm arguing with you about is like just my current understanding of like certain interpretations of the suttas of the Buddha Dhamma that don't seem to make any sense to me, that don't really work with how I see the suttas holistically. And I can even be wrong about that. You might be more right than I am. But neither of us right now, insofar as both of us are Pachuchinas, both of us are wrong.
Yeah. Thing is, you don't have to believe me.
Yeah.
Okay, first point. We are just discussing only.
Yeah.
That's the Dhamma discussion.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess,
but
so.
I am pointing out there is something like this. It is only if you want, you can search.
Yes, okay. And that's what I do.
That's
every
why
day.
I gave you the reference point also. One day you might read it again and check why existing. So it is beyond existing, beyond non-existing. That is mentioned there.
Yeah.
But this English interpretation, I don't agree with that. Better you read in Pali.
Mm-hmm.
The Loka Samudaya. If you see it, how world is appearing, real samudaya. Samudaya is the occurring. Okay? How originating. So that is where Buddha taught about dependent origination.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you see that, only you see Dhamma. You see the what is suffering, you really understand if you see this dependent origination.
So that's another thing. I mean, I can just mention to you is that, like, my understanding of dependent origination is the traditional interpretation of dependent origination as like a causal sequence of like things happening one after another.
Yeah, that is traditional.
That
I
is
agree
with
you. That is not.
I completely disagree with that.
Yes.
That makes no sense, and that actually like it. That just introduces actually an impossibility of knowledge and understanding.
Why do you not agree with that?
Because, it's actually in Western philosophy this was studied quite a bit, and especially in terms of the science or the philosophy of science of like causality and like it was Hume. David Hume first pointed this out that like no matter. You know, that there are basically infinitely many explanations for why, like, something happens and then something happens after that. Like, if there's, you know, event A and then event B, we can say, okay, there's a causal, like, link between these two things.
Yes.
But there are infinitely many possible...
possibilities.
Like, models. There are infinitely many possible, like, causal explanations we can give for why one thing follows another.
Good.
And so we can never know for sure which one is correct.
Yeah.
And then that was followed by kind of philosophers in the philosophy of science talking about like getting all the way to Karl Popper, where he says basically all we do, we come up with like best guesses and then we just eliminate the ones that are wrong.
That's a way to check. That's why I asked for traditional explanation. I also don't agree, but why? You have to tell what.
Okay? Yeah,
it is not because someone telling.
It's basically the problem of inference, basically.
Inference.
If you're like, if you see like, okay, this happened and then this happened, and every single time I saw this, it was followed by that. Even if you see that same causal sequence happen a million times, never will you be absolutely sure that B will follow A every single time.
Okay, so what's the way to find absolute one?
So, and again,
if you say this is strong.
Yes. And so just, and again, I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay. But what my current best guess is, and this was the interpretation put forward by Venerable Jnanavira, is that dependent origination, that the links of dependent origination are not things that follow each other sequentially. They all happen simultaneously, concurrently. They're basically like different structural aspects of any and every single possible.
Do you know what is? The traditional one depend on time.
Yes. And so
this Buddha's
structural teaching is timeless.
Yes. Buddha's teaching go beyond time. That's why
I would use the word transtemporal. That that those links apply to every possible experience, past, present, and future.
Very good. People use these terms very loosely, like because of this is happening.
Yeah.
It is not the dependent origination.
I do not use the terms loosely. I have like rigorously studied.
No, you use the traditional way. So very good. So that's why I told you, when you are learning a language, first we refer dictionary and get the meaning, but it is not the real meaning or the reality. Intend to say. So we need to know that first. You need to learn, but it is not the initial, you know, the interpretation you get is the truth. That is where you have to investigate now.
Yes, that's what I've been, and that's what I'm talking about with like all the different Buddhisms, and you have to just relentlessly investigate which one is more true, which one's more likely to be true, why is this one false, why is this more likely to be false, I don't know, investigate, that's what I've been doing.
Exactly, this is mentioned in one of the suttas, how to develop your wisdom. You listen carefully, then question. Right? Sususa Patitucha. These are the two Pali terms. You hear properly and investigate and ask questions. It's the way to develop your wisdom. Okay? Not blindly believe. That's why when I say something, don't believe. But it's a point for investigation. Yes, I'm sure it will help you to develop the wisdom. So you can ask any questions. I'm very happy when you are asking questions, rather than just, you know, blindly listening.
Yeah.
So that's the nature of a truth seeker, real truth seeker. For those, Buddha teach those things.
Yeah.
Buddha's teachings are there for truth seekers, not blind believers.
I agree.
Yeah. So exactly this thing, if you really see dependent origination, you should go beyond time concept. You should go beyond space concept. And the measuring, whatever measuring, this is good, this is bad kind of thing, you go beyond that also if you really see what dependent origination. So that's a kind of, you know, go beyond world, beyond the world, worldly concepts. So
there are many ideas of how to go about doing that, and they're all contradictory as well. You know, there's people who want you to meditate until you get like a cessation event and you just live out and don't experience anything, which is also a contradiction
in terms. That is Buddha's clearly rejected.
Yes.
And the one sutta, it is called Asanya Sanyi. The sanyi is the...
I'm just mentioning, and you seem familiar with all this, that like you know, you can say those things of like we go beyond concepts and all that, but like what exactly that means has been interpreted in a wide variety of ways.
That's why we can give only similes.
All throughout, for thousands of years and throughout all the different countries in Asia, there's all these different philosophies, you know, not just Theravada, not just Abhidhamma.
I'm talking about Theravada, I'm talking about even Abhidhamma. What I say is, what you known as Abhidhamma is not the real Abhidhamma. It is what? Just one interpretation only.
Yes, I'm sure there are many others.
Even you say this is Theravada, I would say it is not.
And then we can expand just from Theravada into all the different sub branches of Theravada.
Even that's why this sutta, different people may interpret in different way. We have to further investigate, you know, discuss, try with meditation and all those. It's a combination of these things. So this is a very good sutta because it clearly explains what dependent origination is. This Kacchanagatha Sutta. Mm-hmm. Finally, it explains dependent origination and how to go beyond worldly concepts.
I'm just skeptical. Like you seem very confident in saying that, and I'm just saying like.
Very confidently, I'm telling you.
If you're a Patujana, because I think that confidence is unwarranted.
Yeah. No, when you see something, it is something like the same simile. If I am there, whatever concept you talk about water, if I am coming from that side, I have very good confidence. Whatever others telling cannot change this. Mm-hmm. If you see the truth. This is called Nirodhe Jnana. This is not an Nibbana, but the Jnana, the Samadhi. That is where you get what is suffering, what suffering is. Whenever they are talking about these things, that is the suffering. What's the point? Why you talk about elephant? No elephant. They're talking, something appear in your mind, not the outside object. The compare what elephant, to compare what water is. You have to see which one I am comparing it. That is your own creation. Okay?
This is
very deep.
I can accept, I've heard ideas like what you, like, there's the Sri Lankan, the Magic of the Mind. Who wrote that?
Yes, Katukurunde Jnananda.
Yeah.
That is the monk I associated with.
And so I have heard like this interpretation before.
Yes.
I'm not unaware. It's just
I got the rare chance of being with him. Yeah. Venerable. Yeah. He's passed away, Jnanananda. So that influence is there. So still I'm searching in that way. Openly I'm searching. So I'm open for any questioning and so on.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like if you're still searching, it seems to me again like you have a little bit more.
Well, it is up to you.
A little bit more confidence, maybe than you necessarily should have in your interpretation of that Kacchanagatha Sutta, of Patijasamutpada, of basically everything. And I only say that just again, like being another truth seeker myself, that like I have convinced myself that I was right about the Dhamma before. Like I have actually thought that I was an Arya Samabhaka before, and then I came to understand I don't understand this fully.
Since we don't have much time, another concept we have mentioned, the Sakkaya Ditti, right?
Yeah.
So that is the entering point, breaking this. Entering point to the path. Okay? Sotapatti. To become Sotapatti, you need to break this divide or the fetter, Sakkaya Ditti. Sakkaya Ditti is the. There's no single term, but it's a kind of, you know, personal feeling. I am there. Eh?
Yeah.
That kind of feeling. So whenever you see that, for example, the water there, who is experiencing this? I am. Okay? If you say water is not there, who is experiencing? Who is telling this? I am. But if you are there, nothing to talk. Just simply water concept not appearing. Right?
I guess maybe like the
it is not to tell nothing.
Yeah. Another reason I've been like kind of resisting you the whole time throughout this whole conversation.
That's okay.
I guess yeah. And I do it in a spirit of again like truth seeking and being, you know, just a friend with you along this whole Buddhism thing, is, you know, these kinds of discussions. I'm just not particularly interested in the interpretive discussions anymore because again I've read so many different interpretations of the Buddha Dhamma. I've explored all this deeply intellectually, and yet, you know, I still suffer, and I still feel compelled to act out of craving.
Exactly.
And that's what I have come to be more and more relentlessly focused on, is, like, actually restraining myself from craving, actually refraining from acting out of the three unwholesome modes of conduct.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Buddha said, like, what prevents knowledge and vision, the five hindrances, what fuels the five hindrances, the three types of misconduct. So acting unwholesome by body, speech, and mind. And so that's more what I emphasize now, more than anything else, is I'm going to keep the eight precepts for the rest of my life, like my life depends on it. I'm going to just constantly, like life and death, restrain myself from like acting out of like getting distracted, idle chatter, like ever. I'm going to keep these things in mind constantly, and I'm going to, actually give up, try my very best to give up all the unwholesome things that, as far as I can see it, but constantly keep in mind that I don't even understand what unwholesomeness is because I'm a patujana. And so I need to constantly, relentlessly question that. That's become my emphasis of the Dhamma, because, again, the intellectual stuff I gravitate towards, right? I have an intellectual bent. I was a scholar. I was, you know, in graduate school, and, like, all that stuff, I can, you know, talk about the history of the Pali terminology and how the Abhidhamma, like, came about historically and, like, all that stuff. All the different interpretations have, you know, been throughout history, both, you know, Theravada, within Theravada, Mahayana, Majjhimaka, Yogacara. I mean, it's a crazy amount of all that. Mm. But at this point, having explored all that, you know, I still suffer. So clearly there's a missing piece.
That is the exact point.
Is precisely that I keep acting out of
when you say I still suffer, you have to see what is that? Why?
And I regard the struggle to refrain from acting out of craving to the extent that I currently understand craving. I regard that struggle as precisely a way of investigating what suffering is. That, like, keeping virtue is an investigation of what suffering is, basically.
No argument with that.
Yeah. So
keeping virtue is really good.
And that's okay. But the thing is that it's not emphasized. It's not emphasized that, like, changing your entire life, modifying your entire lifestyle, completely abandoning everything that you previously that is an investigation of, like, what is right, what is good. You are putting into question all of your previous assumptions about how you should have been living, right? That you were acting out of sensuality and stuff.
No, if you understand like this, it's not the point.
I'm just saying that, like, that is how I understand, like, the investigation of these things at this point.
The thing is,
as, like, visceral. It's like I live out the investigation, and to me that seems more potent and more probable based on the suttas, all the things the Buddha emphasized. That seems much more probable that it will lead to the knowledge of what interpretation is correct than, you know, going through these, like, intellectual exercises of investigating the meaning of the words. And it's like, I've already done that, you know, and it's led me maybe to some amount of knowledge,
you might have done that, but I'm referring that sutta again. So I'm just asking you, go back and read it again, and with your practice you'll see that probably the meaning you got last time may be different.
Yeah.
When you see further, right? Sometimes when you read, it's common to us also, all of us, the initial interpretation may be not the correct one, right? So you have to go back and see it again. So this virtue thing also, later you might realize, if I take that dog's example, dog thing, there's another dog in the water, right? So he gets angry and barking, for example. So anger is bad, we know. It's a suffering, right? To reduce that, you may do certain things. For example, you may practice loving kindness, right? Why should I get angry with that dog, and so on. Or any kind of meditation you can substitute for this. That there's a way to reduce that anger. Worldly way of doing that. Any kind of meditation would help you to reduce anger. But as far as it is believing another dog there, that's the delusion part, avijja part. So it is not the anger, but the delusion part. Actually, I want to take my vehicle back. So the if one day if dog realize the reality, like when we see dog's mind. One day if we realize this appearing dog, believing dog itself is the delusion. That day he doesn't have to think about anger or attachment for the dog. So realization itself, let's go beyond, of course you need virtue first, but it, it go beyond, you are trying to reduce anger or not to be angry with. That's a kind of virtue, no? So realization automatically gives you the virtue. That's when you realize that's the truth about dogs occurring, samudaya. That is called samudaya. There's a Kachanagata Sutta again. Samudaya anchako kachana. If you see the Yathabhuta, the exact reality. So, you won't come existing or non-existing of the dog. Simply talking about dog, the viewpoint of dog, that is it. That itself is the suffering, real suffering. Okay? So, these are very subtle levels. One day this may be useful for you. That's why I am just telling, okay? With that perhaps we can... But anytime if you want to talk to me, I'm open.
Okay.
Okay. So I just want to prepare.